Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The other issue, of course, that Johannesburg residents and I imagine around the country are dealing with is water infrastructure. Water interruptions have become very much part of our daily experience. And we wanted to understand what on earth is going on. Is there sabotage? Is there secret water shedding? What is really happening? If you would send me a message, I'd greatly appreciate it on 34519 or 061-895-1019. Have you had water issues? Have you had water interruptions over the last couple of weeks and maybe months? And is it getting worse? Professor Anthony Turton, he's a professor at the Center for the Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. We've spoken to him before. Professor Anthony Turton, good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Good morning to you and the listeners. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. In fact, it's not really a great pleasure because you always tell us like it is. And sometimes we don't want to know that. So I'm not sure if it is a pleasure or not. But either way, we need to know what's going on in our world, whether we like it or not. How bad is the water situation? How bad is our water infrastructure in Johannesburg?
You know, the good thing in life is that some things are entirely predictable. And one of the things that are predictable is that that all infrastructure has got a defined lifespan. And we also know that when infrastructure is managed in a certain way, there are going to be certain consequences of that management. And one of the things in our water infrastructure is that it is not designed to have pressure variation. In other words, it's not designed to be switched on and off like you would a light switch.
Right.
It simply is not designed that way because it just, you know, think about this. The thousands of kilometers of pipeline that take the water from its source in the Tugela River in KZN,
mm-hmm.
and eventually deliver it, you know, to a house in Cyril Deep. Just think of those thousands of joints that it goes to, and the sections of pipe that are screwed together, et cetera, et cetera. And every one of those things have got a pressure differential across it. And as the pressure fluctuates, these things start breaking down. So these systems are designed to work at a certain supply pressure and not to vary, you know, beyond a given or defined upper and lower limit. We're now running these things way out of their design limits. Plus, they're very, very old. Plus, we are putting more water through it than was designed because demand has increased but supply hasn't. So ultimately, it's quite predictable what's happening. We are seeing a slow degradation of the system. It's like a domino effect. Once the first domino falls, it puts pressure on the second and then the third, and eventually they all start falling down. That's what's happening in all of our infrastructure, but particularly in our water infrastructure.
So how bad is it?
Well, I would reverse out of that question by focusing on something else. In order to solve that problem, you've got to have some leadership somewhere along the line that acknowledges that there's a problem in the first place. If the leadership will not acknowledge that there's a problem, how can they realistically put some kind of plan in place about how to fix the problem? So that's the focal point that I would like to add to that.
Mm.
And I'm really distressed to see that not only in Johannesburg, but almost in all of our major cities in South Africa, we've got this power squabble, in a coalition government, where very few of the political leaders actually understand water or take it seriously at all. So, you know, to be honest with you, I hate to sound like a prophet of doom, but I just don't see any realistic indication at this point in time that someone with the power to do something about it is sitting up and taking note. I wish it was different, but this is the way I see it at the moment. There's these power struggles at the top level, and that's all filtering down as uncertainty, planning incoherence, policy incoherence, the lack of focus. So that's where we are today. So I'm afraid I cannot see any indication that things are going to get better before they get worse. In fact, I see it the other way around. It's going to get worse before it's going to get better.
So it's Where does it sit here? Does it sit with, national government? Does it sit with the city of Johannesburg? How does our water situation actually work? We saw this bit of this mess happening when Cape Town had the drought, and there were different areas that were playing off against each other politically. But can you give us an understanding of how that looks?
Okay, well, that's an artifact of our transition to democracy in 1994. The first bit of legislation that was passed in the post-apartheid era was the National Water Act. And what the National Water Act did was it nationalized water as a means of land redistribution. And that is kind of off the radar screen for most people, but that was the principal purpose of the National Water Act, was to assist in land redistribution by taking ownership of land. As I say, by taking ownership of water, which gives value to land, the state could now direct how land ownership is going to change in future. So that was the first thing. But the second thing that happened was there was this ideological belief that the people shall govern, and therefore there were a whole lot of committees and structures established now to devolve the authority that the central state used to have. And one of those was catchment management agencies. And the country was divided into 19 catchment management areas. And these were supposed to be governed sort of democratically. And, of course, the purpose there, once again, was to assist in the redistribution of land over time. So these are highly political agendas. But in the process now, the central role that the state used to play in planning was devolved down to municipal government at the very same time when municipal government was losing its core skills because of the political imperative of transformation at that time. So we get a situation now where there's no DNA within your municipal structures. There's no sort of memory. There's no institutional memory of how to do long-term planning in municipalities, because they've never done it before, but now they're required to do it at the very time that the Department of National, sorry, the Department of Water at national level used to do it, but is no longer capable, and in fact is no longer legally responsible for it. So there's a big gap in the middle there, and this has taken 2 decades to sort of filter through the system. The reason being that we had such good infrastructure in the first place that it was robust enough to withstand all of the traumas over the last 2 decades. But now we're kind of coming to the end of the life of that infrastructure, and now the lack of planning 2 decades ago is now starting to be manifest today.
And that is very worrying. Is your view that if you can afford it, people should be getting themselves a JoJo tank, for example?
Well, I think it's, each person's got to make a decision about how they're going to become resilient. You have to internalize the responsibility that the state used to have. We've seen this in private security. We see it in private healthcare. We see it in all sorts of walks of life. So water is just another thing. Now, you've got to make a decision about how to internalize that. And, part of that would be getting some kind of water resilience plan. And you could think of a tank, as a JoJo tank, which is a solution. Just means that you've got to adapt your way of life. And there are many options open, particularly for people that are living in clusters, central title schemes. I think you're going to start seeing over time that's probably the closest you're going to get to a functioning municipality will in fact be the body corporate. They will actually start assuming the role of the municipality, and that's of course fraught with all kinds of complexities in its own right. I sit on there, I'm a trustee of the body corporate, and fraught and highly politicised. But nonetheless, this is what I see is likely to happen in the future. But people have to make a choice. The state is simply no longer capable of doing it. And I would say there's a moment of liberation, if you like, for want of a better word. The moment you realize actually that the state is not going to come and fix these things up, that you've got to create your own solutions, be it through a body corporate, be it through your own decision making. You've got to find your own solutions. Then you kind of decouple yourself from the dominoes that are falling around you. But you can only go so far in that approach. But that's something that I think we simply, it's just upon the average citizen today, whether they like it or not.
Absolutely, and that's where we leave it. It is 8:57. I'm Howard Feldman. That was Professor Anthony Turton talking to us about the water infrastructure in South Africa.